Sexy and Van City Radio may contain adult content. Listener discretion is advised. You are listening to Sexy and Van City Radio on 101.9 FM, CITR.
Welcome to Sexy and Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. Or perhaps you could be one of our podcast listeners listening to this long after, because the information you're going to hear tonight and most times is usually stuff that you can listen to and learn from a little bit more each time, going deeper and deeper as you listen to the recordings. And tonight we are going to be chatting about Tantra. And I've got one of my favorite guests on who I have not had on for a very long time. She occasionally comes up to Vancouver, which we're very lucky. But if you're on the Pacific Northwest, you're lucky to get to see her in Seattle, which she has some absolutely fantastic workshops for men, women, couples. She can also, if you're anywhere around the world listening to this, she can also do coaching as well, but via Skype and all sorts of amazing things. You might be wondering, who am I talking about? Who is this wonderful person? Who is this sexy person? Is it male, female? And she is the goddess of Tantra, the lovely, the wonderful Tanya Diamond. And I'm very excited to have you on the show. Welcome.
Hello, and I'm really happy that we're using our really sexy radio voices tonight. It's awesome to be here.
And it's really, really, really lovely, especially it's after 10 o'clock, so we can talk about whatever we'd like on air. The CRTC ruling in Canada is all right with that, so however which way this conversation goes, we can go there. So I wanted to start with, just in terms of, what are some of the major myths that you hear when you tell people, say you're meeting somebody, you're at a cocktail party or a networking event, and they ask, oh, so Tanya, what do you do? And you say, well, I'm a Tantra teacher. My website is learningtantra.com. What are some of the reactions or myths as people start getting more comfortable to that,
well,
they ask you?
It's even more fun at the mortgage office or the bank, but people generally, if they've heard of Tantra, and of course, you know, the word Tantra now, we're seeing it in some mainstream media. Mm-hmm. We're seeing it on some movies, Sex and the City. Things are popping up. The word is popping up. And when it does, it's always in conjunction with sex.
Yes.
And therein lies the myth that Tantra equals sex. And totally not so. So, of course, when people ask me what you do, I usually say I'm a life strategist, a Tantra teacher. They kind of go, oh, if they've heard of it, they go, oh. Mm. And then I'm quick to remark that Tantra actually has a lot more to do with the technology of spiritual development than sexuality. But because people are confused about classical Tantra and neo-Tantra, they think sex. And you know what? Sex is awesome. I also teach Neo-Tantra, so I do teach sex, so that's all great. But I think we're really missing a lot when we don't understand the differences between classical Tantra and Neo-Tantra.
That makes a lot of sense. Yesterday when I was telling somebody that I was going to have you on the show, she asked me, what was one of our listener questions, is the difference between white and black Tantra. And it's sounding like you've already answered that question to me, when we'll go into details in regards to Neo-Tantra versus classical versus modern.
Well, you know, what's really funny is you want to really beware of the chartreuse Tantra.
Okay. I have this vision of some
really
strange
stuff.
Aura.
Actually, you know, it's funny. Tantra has become, like, colorful. I'm not quite sure how it became colorful either, because there actually is only one tiny little part of one tiny little school that was way many thousands of years ago that even had, like, this white, and it wasn't black, because there's no such thing as black Tantra. That's a made-up thing.
Okay.
White Tantra was the spiritual development of Tantra. Red Tantra was the physical sexual arts of Tantra. But even that isn't really classical in origin. It's kind of been made up along the way. And then everybody else has come along, and there's, like, you know, yellow Tantra and diamond Tantra and, you know, upside down Tantra and, you know, and everybody's own particular brand of something related to Tantra. And the sad fact is most of that, it doesn't even have anything to do with actual Tantra.
So how can we basically figure out who the charlatans are and who's authentic?
Well, and you know what? Let me say that just because somebody's using, like, you know, gold Tantra doesn't mean they're a charlatan. Because here's the problem. If we go back and decide, you know, classical Tantra was actually created post-4th century. So 4th century and before, you can say classical Tantra, meaning that it was handed down from one master to one student via energetic transmission. Nothing was written down. It was very old school, like a martial art. You know, you go to the temple gate, you get beat up for a few months, they finally deem you worthy, you go learn. It was a guru worship situation.
Mm-hmm.
And a student might spend his lifetime with one master. So this is classical Tantra as it really is, and only 3% of that related to sexuality at all. Well, then it started spreading through, you know, a little history started spreading around through the countries, different countries, and people started picking up, like they do, different pieces here and there, until one guy got very crafty in about the 10th century, 9th-10th century. He decided to create an enterprise and created, took some of Tantra, very little of it, but Ayurvedic, yoga, the Kama Sutra, other, and he created what now looks like Neo-Tantra. Except Neo-Tantra has evolved, of course, from then into the 60s coming to the West into something completely different as well. But Neo-Tantra really focuses on sexuality and, you know, you can even say sacred sexuality, but it's really about sex, it's about energy, it's about orgasm. Tantra itself is about life mastery. It's about the technology of science and how you use energy, you harness energy, and you utilize that, understanding how that works. Tantra masters are experimenters. They use their physical body to experiment. So, you know, there's a big difference here, but the problem is everybody's invested in the word Tantra because all these teachers started teaching Tantra without distinguishing the Neo-Tantra from classical Tantra.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you say to somebody today, well, you're not actually, I get in trouble all the time if I say to somebody, well, you're not actually teaching Tantra. They're like, well, who are you? Well, I'm the holder of 3 classical lineages. You don't find very many people like me anymore walking around. So I have, you know, the right to say that, but more importantly, it's not like one is better, one is this, but what it is we need to have the definition so that people can actually find what they're looking for.
Hmm.
You know, if you want an erotic massage, then there are people that are using the word Tantra to say they're doing that. Now, if you don't know where to look for it, you don't know what you're looking for, it's going to be hard to find it, right? If you want spiritual development, if you're actually looking for a classical path, you want something different than going to a workshop with everybody naked.
Yes.
No, but, I mean, how do you know that? How do you find that out? So even more than who's a charlatan or who's not, it's really who has an education about what they're doing. There's plenty of incredible, because I teach Neo-Tantra as well. Great, great reasons to learn Neo-Tantra. But we really need to stand out and understand what it is we're doing. And so, like I said, it's pretty controversial. I get in a lot of trouble because a lot of people are very invested in the word because their teacher told them that they're doing Tantra, and their teacher told that teacher that they're doing Tantra, and this goes back for, you know, several thousand years now.
Wow.
So, there we are.
Well, that's huge. So in terms of with Tantra, Neo-Tantra versus modern Tantra versus classical, what would you recommend, say, in terms of for couples? Because it's been a while, but taking your couples workshop, although I never took it with a partner because I was single at the time. And I have to say, when I originally met you, I was terrified I'd have to show up in basically naked and in heels in class because I had no idea what I was getting into.
Right, exactly.
Value.
And everybody's in for a different thing. So there's certainly people that, you know, do all naked workshops, and there's people that that's right for, and they, you know, as long as they know what they're looking for and in for, that's great. Really, very few people are ever going to learn classical Tantra anymore. That's a really sad thing. But because of the way it's taught, it's so intense. It's the most intense, painful, exalted, ecstatic, destructive journey that I've ever been on in my life. I doubt seriously that many people are going to pursue that path. Neo-Tantra really is about becoming aware of oneself, letting go of shame, healing your sexuality. So Neo-Tantra is a great place to start, but what you want to look for is a teacher that has a foundation. And when I say a foundation, I mean somebody that has done more than a weekend workshop and is now calling themselves a Neo-Tantra teacher. You want to have somebody that has the foundation of breath work and spirituality that can actually teach them these skills. And this is the problem with most Neo-Tantra. There's no foundation to it. And so you can learn a few things. You can go use some fancy words. You can go sit in some positions. But really, if you can't integrate the knowledge, what is the point of it?
Mm-hmm.
So to me, somebody could help facilitate your integration of what you're learning means that you don't have to keep going to workshop after workshop. You know, most people look for years and ever for the things that they're trying to find, but the problem is they've got the knowledge, they just don't have the integration. So I'm all about integrating.
Mm-hmm.
So whether I'm teaching classical, neo, and then you brought up modern tantra, which modern tantra is my own version of probably as close as we're going to get. I mean, like I said, classical tantra is so tough. I doubt there's people that are going to do that anymore. But my teacher asked me to bring something through, and it took about 20 years for me to finally realize the modern tantra path. And so that's a path that I teach that's about as close to, though quite far away from, classical tantra as we're going to have today. But it's about a path to life mastery.
Mm-hmm.
So Neo-Tantra, great for couples, singles, anybody that really wants to kind of get in touch with really understanding their body, mm-hmm. understanding their sexuality, letting go of shame, really stepping into empowerment, which doesn't mean you need to use four-letter words or go get naked. You don't have to get naked to learn Neo-Tantra. You don't even have to have sex. You can be celibate and learn about sexuality. So it's a solo journey to start with, even if you have a partner.
Mm-hmm.
And then modern tantra would be something that I include sexuality in modern tantra, but that's a five-step to life mastery path. So there's a whole, just really, it's kind of like what's somebody looking for, what's missing in their life, and there's a bunch of different modalities in which to get there.
So Neo-Tantra would be a good entry level in some levels, and then from there wanting to go deeper, so not just trying to bond as a couple, but getting to know yourself would take it to that next level?
Right, well, because, a couple, everything is a dynamic,
mm-hmm.
and society is, a dynamic,
yes.
but when you're in a couple thing, if you're single and you've addressed your own issues, those will change once you get into a couple.
Mm-hmm.
You can be quote-unquote healed as a single person, step into a couple situation, and immediately have all sorts of things come back up again because you're now in a dynamic.
I can totally see that, actually, because it's why some of us date the same person over and over and over again and wonder why we're not getting a different result. So,
yeah.
I can...
So Neo-Tantra, great. Definitely a good first step and a like I said, as long as there's some foundation attached to it and it's not just all about the orgasm. Usually if you're, talking to somebody and they're teaching tantra and it's all about the orgasm,
yes.
there's a lot missing. Orgasms are great. I just did a whole teleseminar on orgasms for women, so don't knock them for sure, but you need a foundation still. Just being orgasmic does not create an integrative lifestyle.
That makes perfect sense. You need to breathe and be able to connect with your body before you can take it to that next level. But on that note, is it true that men can eventually, through a long, I'm imagining lots of practice, not after a weekend workshop, be able to basically ejaculate without physically ejaculation?
Well, they can orgasm without ejaculation. So
thank
one
you.
Of the sexual things that Tantra is known for, Neo-Tantra is known for, and actually the Taoism also for, so it's really an Eastern art form, but
mm-hmm.
is the ability for a man to orgasm without ejaculating. And that's an interesting thing, too, because there are people that teach that, and what they're teaching is retrograde, meaning they're backing up the, manually blocking the semen from coming out.
Mm-hmm.
But once it's started its journey, it's already in ejaculation. So even though it won't come out, they aren't really doing the energetic work of orgasm without ejaculation. So even that has, you know, that there's some shortcuts in that that don't have the same impact. But yeah, and I have a training. My training won Last Longer for Sex is the first level in learning how to do this, and then I've got Tantra Ejaculation Mastery, and both of those are video training courses that I finally developed for men. And really, it's not that long if you've got the right information. If you've got the right information, most men can probably start to have experiences of that in about 3 months.
Wow.
And that's not long if you consider that it's overriding your biology.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the question is, why would a man want to do that? You know, that's the question I get when I teach men. Well, why? Well, let me tell you that right now, you know, the ejaculation feels amazing because it's supposed to. Whereas if you're having orgasm after orgasm and you're not ejaculating, meaning you can stay erect and keep going and have orgasm and orgasm, now you're having multiple orgasms. They're going on for 5, 10, 20 minutes, when typically an ejaculation and orgasm only happens for a few seconds.
Mm-hmm.
The average man has 11 minutes of orgasmic pleasure a year, typically.
Wow.
When imagine that you could have that 20 or 30 minutes every lovemaking session. There's good incentive. Then most men who've experimented with this, when I coach them, find out that not ejaculating but staying in high arousal, still self-pleasuring or still having sex but not releasing that energy, means they have a ton of energy throughout the day. It's not only a youthening kind of experience, but their mental acuity is better, they're more keen, all sorts of amazing, their hormone levels change and go up and better. So it really has a lot of amazing qualities to it, as well as something very interesting, that women who have sex with men who know how to do this, who have orgasm but not ejaculation, actually have a more healing experience in the sexual intercourse as well. There's something about a man that doesn't ejaculate in you that creates a deeper bond.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, women, if you haven't had that, it's kind of hard to say, well, what does that mean? But a lot of women, after a man ejaculates, feel him disappear. Like, you may not tangibly know it, but, you know, women always want to talk after sex.
Mm-hmm.
They always want to cuddle up with the man, and they want the kind of, it's because his energetically, once he ejaculates, he's gone.
Yeah. Whereas, meanwhile, us, we're filled up of lots of oxytocin and just want to cuddle.
Right, and we want this, we want that intimacy to stay.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, he's shut down. And for a lot of men who've been really honest, you know, once that energetic shuts down, you know, they're ready to go back to the computer. They're ready to go to sleep. You know, their sexual energy can even be starting to go out to other people. That's how they're designed.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with that. But there can be a change with, you know, they can change that if they want. I believe it would help relationships, monogamous relationships as well.
I think that could be really good on a global level, on so many different levels. When we look at the amount of violence against children, against women, according to Amnesty International, it's 1 out of 3 women who've dealt with sexual violence before the age of 18, 1 out of 6 men. And I'm going to quote Marvin Gaye, a lot of sexual healing in regards to this world where there needs to be a lot of love. And I think in regards to being able to do the healing, the breath practice, I think it would be really beneficial to all of us.
Well, most certainly I would, because I look at, you know, this rape culture, sexual abuse, violence. I look at this all as, once again, a social dynamic.
Hmm.
So we are tolerating this as a culture, because if we weren't, it wouldn't continue. So there's something, it's not just, you know, you know, people say, oh, men are violent. It's not true. Women are violent, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people are violent. Violence is part of nature. So in itself, it's a natural occurrence, like anger, sadness, grief, joy. We have all of these things. There's reasons for them. You know, nature can be very violent in an earthquake or a, you know, firestorm or something like that. The problem is, we hold on to emotions that usually are flowing.
Mm-hmm.
So human beings are the only thing that can remain static, which goes against the laws of the universe. We can actually hold on and perpetuate and stay in one emotional state for a long time. That conflict causes this anger and violence as well.
Mm-hmm.
If we're not in conflict, then we're not in anger or violence. So when I coach or do anything, to me, this is about removing the conflict that people have inside themselves. And, of course, breath work is one of the big keys to that. Learning how to feel all your emotions is key. And so I like simple. You know, I always go back to, you know, when I teach, you always know that. Back to the simplest thing possible is if we were to help people, not just men, not just women, people, learn how to actually feel authentically, then the healing would start.
Mm-hmm.
This is what it's all about. This conflict of not being able to feel authentically, this conflict of having to, you know, feel shame, feeling shame or feeling stuck or feeling closed down. And we perpetuate it as a society. We have a lot of behind-the-closed-door things. You know, I'm probably the only sex teacher on the planet that's down on internet pornography.
Hmm.
To me, that's one of a huge problem that we're having. I mean, I have constant calls from young men who now have delayed ejaculation, erectile dysfunction, so many things under, you know, under 25. It's crazy, all leading to internet pornography use. Not porn use, which, you know, that's different, internet pornography. And I think it's perpetuating more violence as well. And 8 years ago, I started talking about this, and nobody believed me. And now we're seeing actual studies come out. So, you know, I know it sounds controversial, and people will be going, I don't like her already.
Well, I'm going to quote Sherry Winston, actually, on this one, which if you're going to watch pornography, it should be for entertainment, not for education. It should be completely separate.
Well, even entertainment. I mean, you understand that internet pornography changes your brain chemistry.
Tell me
that's
more about
part
that.
Of the problem. If somebody's looking at it every once in a while, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I say this, take the 30-day I'm not a porn addict challenge. If you can go 30 days without watching any internet porn or doing that, you don't have a problem. Don't worry about it. But just me saying that, half of your audience will be freaking out right now.
Mm-hmm.
Women and men. And what happens is, you know, we start these high dopamine. Internet pornography causes artificially high dopamine levels way beyond what we normally have to happen. And it's not the internet porn. It's the actually anticipation of doing it that spikes it high. And these artificial dopamine levels cannot be reproduced in normal sex.
Wow.
So it starts to create kind of a problem. So I say, hey, you know, you can have fun, you go watch stuff every once in a while, do that kind of thing, but you know if there's an issue because, number one, if regular sex isn't doing it for you anymore, if you have to fantasize about the porn you watched to have sex, men, young men that can't ejaculate, they can't actually get there, they have delayed ejaculation, meaning they have to either fantasize about something else or they can't even get off anymore, not being able to have an erection with a regular person.
Mm-hmm.
Women who have to fantasize about porn to have an orgasm or to have sex. These are all issues that we need to address. And I believe that if you see internet pornography today compared to what it used to be even 5 years ago, you'll see a lot more violent type of activity as well. So,
why do you think that is with the dopamine, et cetera? And why do you think that internet pornography is... It's grown so much just because of the availability, et cetera, just with the internet, just how everything is, we're so plugged in now.
Yeah, I mean, so the ease of accessibility. It used to be porn, you know, you found your dad's Playboy or something,
mm-hmm.
right? Or you found some magazines or you found this and that. And it wasn't like you just couldn't hook into it all day long for the most part. Now we can get it on our, you know, desktop, laptops, phones, devices. And what happens is there's a way, it's the click, 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 there's a way, and I don't have all the science, especially right now, sorry that's as late this.
No, I understand.
You can research it pretty easily online, mm-hmm. but the brain science is showing what's happening. You know, if you look at a magazine, your dopamine levels may go up if you're thinking about masturbating and the pleasure you're going to have. But because of the very nature of the internet, and it's choices, and you're available to click and click and click through, it causes this spiking in the brain, because video games do the same thing, causes this spiking in the brain and the dopamine levels that they felt like, say, way beyond what would normally happen. And in fact, they found, you know, if you spike rats that high, and of course they're not watching porn, but through other things, they'll actually go without food because the dopamine levels are so high that nothing else matters. And so this, you know, this thing that I've been, you know, saying, hey, you know, 8-10 years ago, now all of a sudden you can go to TED Talks, you can go to all sorts of things and find out that brain science has caught up with what I was seeing happening with clients and what I was seeing happening in the world, which is this hooked into this artificial experience that's creating major dissatisfaction with real experiences. And it's causing, you know, this pull apart, like, you know, couples now, I think 70% of divorce lawyers are saying 70% of people divorcing are citing internet porn as a problem.
Wow.
You know, and as many people as give me crap when I post things on Facebook about it, I have countless people behind the scenes, young men and couples and people saying, can you help me?
Wow.
So, you know, I'm not trying to rain on anybody's, you know, parade as far as the ability to be entertained or, but, you know, I'm also, you know, somebody who believes that fantasy, as good as it is, if you get hooked into fantasy during sex or masturbation even, that you disconnect from your body.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, it's even juicier to learn how to really feel what you're feeling, even if it's nothing at the moment. Because a lot of people are creating what I term as artificial arousal.
Mm-hmm.
Like the body's not really aroused, but you hook into the fantasy and then work to get there.
So as a society, we need to be really engaging in Tantra. What is something that we could be teaching our kids, et cetera? So then and when we get to adulthood, this isn't something that, oh my goodness, I have no idea how to even start connecting with my body this way. I don't know how to breathe.
Well, you know, I always talk about breathing. You know, breath work is the foundation of any, if it's classical, neo, or modern, whichever it is, breath work is the foundation of everything that I do and teach, because breath work is how you connect into your brain and your energy and your body and your spirit. That's the starting point. Without a good breath work practice, it's not integrated, and it just doesn't really matter. You can do everything you want, and you won't get the same results. But here's something that's been coming up that's interesting. I'll have more and more of my clients or students say, well, you know, I haven't really been doing the breath work. And I look at them and I go, well, so I wonder. And then I realize that breath work is really scary. It doesn't sound scary, but the fastest way to feel what you're feeling in your body
is to
start breathing. And that's why so many people don't do it. So the deeper you've stuffed things, the more things you're avoiding or you feel shame about, the scarier breath work actually is. So I think that, you know, I've kind of come around now when I talk, you know, because it's like, okay, so I'm going to ask you to do these simple breaths, and I'm going to let you know that when we do them, you might have feelings come up. Or you might, if you find yourself just saying, oh, I'm not going to do that breath work. She'd asked me to do it for 5 minutes. I'm just not going to do it. You need to understand that what you're doing is, you know, distracting from starting to feel. Because we don't really understand how to feel anymore, because as kids we're taught not to. You know, stop crying. You're okay. Anytime you tell your kid you're okay, you're telling them what to think and feel.
Yeah.
Put on the jacket. You're cold. You know, do this, do that. You know, kids, it's so interesting because I see so many parents. And, you know, I'm a parent, too. I have a 9-year-old. And she has taught me so much about all of this, trust me, because I see myself doing those very unenlightened things as well. And have to really, you know, stop myself and go, wow, okay, well, it's really hard for me to be in her feeling space. You know, I have to breathe.
Yeah.
It's more convenient if she just doesn't feel all that stuff right now.
That's heartbreaking.
And, you know, I'm sure a lot of parents feel that very thing.
Mm-hmm.
So part of it, it's our discomfort at dealing with the feelings that we feel when our child is feeling things. You know, kids are great at feeling. They're having feelings all the time, left and right. And we're standing around trying to manage them.
Yeah.
So teaching your child to breathe and have their feelings. I tell my daughter, you can feel how you want to feel. You can't always act how you want to act.
Can I get you to quote that one more time?
Yeah. You can feel what you want to feel, but you can't always act how you want to act.
I'm typing. You can probably hear that, and it's going on Twitter.
You know, and that's just true for the rest of us. You know, the feelings you have are completely valid, however they are, and yet how you act out on them, you know, that's where responsibility, that's where, you know, consciousness comes in.
Mm-hmm.
It's not enlightened to only feel one thing, love or hate. It's, you know, enlightenment's really about feeling all the textures of life.
I love that. And I think that's one of the things, too, where in this world, sometimes it's really extreme where there's so much shame and stigma attached to all the violence and the, and just in terms of just negative sexuality, our emotions, etc., which is very cathartic when you finally get to breathe and just let go on it. Because I think that's the scariest thing is by breathing into those spaces and shedding some light on it, realizing that those emotions are going to shift.
Well, the great part about it is once you start breathing and they come up, unless you clamp down, and most you can feel you clamp down by close your eyes. If you close your eyes, if you tighten your jaw, if you close your throat off, if you look down, drop your chin, or you slump your shoulders, all of those things are about retaining the energy inside. Now, why do we want to retain stuff that hurts us? It's just because it feels so scary on the way out.
Yeah.
And so if you're going to breathe and you want to the emotion to actually move through you, because that's what it's designed to do, emotions are designed to flow just like the river, just like the clouds, just like everything. They're not designed to be stuck in one place.
Mm-hmm.
So if you open, meaning you open your eyes, you look up, you pull your shoulders back, you open your mouth, relax your jaw, they will move out. And they don't last forever. People think, oh my God, I'm just, you know, there's so much pain, and if I just feel the pain, I'm just going to die. And it's like, well, first of all, you won't. Mm-hmm. I guarantee you. I've been through some horrid things in my life. I'm still alive. And one of my clients said, well, you know, I just am afraid I'm going to cry forever. Well, I'm a grand experimenter because I'm into Tantra. And I decided, you know, I know what that feels like. I could cry forever. But can you really? I mean, what would really happen if you just decided to see if you could cry forever? So one heartache time, I decided to just go ahead and try to see what would happen. And I'm passionate and I'm dramatic, so I can really bring it. You know, and I cried and I cried and I cried and I cried. And I'd think about the, you know, oh, I'll never see him again, never be in love again. You know, I'm very dramatic. So I'm to cry, cry, cry. Pretty soon I kind of cried through that. So then I put on, you know, minor chord music, which always makes me emotional. So then I cried through some of that. Then I thought about the tragedy in the world, the animals being killed and, you know, little babies dying in Africa and everything that I could conjure up. And I could only cry for 16 hours.
Wow.
Yeah. After that, I was done. I could not cry. So, amazing cathartic release of all sorts of things. You know, stress hormones release in tears. So that's awesome. And I guarantee you, I still want to hear from the person that can outdo that.
You know, yeah, actually, I can honestly
ring me
say.
Up, bring it. Cry more than 16 hours. You want, so, I mean, we're just not going to stay in one state if we allow the state to move through.
Mm-hmm. And I find that really interesting because I can honestly say the most I think I've ever cried is probably about 5 hours, and that was at theater school. And that was pretty scary.
Right.
But
right. Well, I mean,
cathartic
it does feel
afterwards.
Scary because we feel like, you know, this could go on, you know, and it could go on, and it could go on. But, you know, depression and grief and all of these other things are really caused by hanging on to it. Not moving it. Like, you know, in countries where they have wailing walls, you know, somebody dies and they just wail and wail and wail. They grieve. Their grief moves. Ours, especially in the United States, does not. we clamp down. We need to be brave. We need to be strong. We need to be polite. You know, whatever these things are. Quiet. You know.
Mm-hmm.
And so we retain. We hold on. We hold this stuff in ourselves. You know, sex. If sometimes women want to cry. I don't know. You know, sometimes I want to laugh. Sometimes I want to cry. Sometimes I want to feel different things. Sometimes I don't really feel anything, but I still want to go on. Sometimes I feel a lot, but I want to stop.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't allow these things.
No.
You know, we do the thing we're supposed to do, which is some preconceived notion of what sexy and awesome is.
That's one thing I do want to touch on, going full circle both to internet porn addiction as well as Facebook, Twitter, and I love social media personally, but there's been more and more people getting plastic surgery, both labiaplasty, etc.
Wow. Yeah, thank you, internet pornography. And mm-hmm. and their buttons bleached. That's an entire industry now, too, having your anus lightened.
Yeah.
Labiaplasty, and have you heard of the G-spot injections?
No, do tell. That disturbs me.
Well, now you can go to a clinic and have collagen injected underneath your G-spot so that it's pumped up all the time, and you can actually, you know, forgo trying to get turned on.
Wow.
Of course, you know, side effects are scarring and, you know, numbness and loss of sensation, but it's a pretty big industry.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, I totally get, you know, the whole labiaplasty. I'll go ahead and be out there. You know what I mean? I'm pretty frank. And so, you know, when I was young, I have larger lips, and I thought to myself, there must be something wrong with me, because I had grabbed, you know, somebody's Playboy, and I was looking at it. And even then, nobody's lips, they didn't have any protruding lips.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I found out later that Playboy didn't do that because they thought it was obscene.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody was tucked or, you know, photoshopped or whatever at that point. You know, because that was left up to Hustler and other types of things to be more obscene. But so I had no reference point as to what was normal. So I actually thought I would cut them off myself. And, you know, I remember sitting there with a razor blade going, you know, this just seems like pretty vascular tissue. You know, I wonder if there's a problem with bleeding. And, you know, I didn't do it, but I was like, just didn't even want to be in the light with a boyfriend. And I remember finally one man just saying to me, you know, hey, this is awesome. This is beautiful. You have these kind of lips, and they're awesome, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, what? And then he went and actually found me some magazines. He's like, look.
Wow.
Check it out. But now we have internet pornography and a lot of porn. They all look the same.
Yeah.
Everything's prepubescent.
It's one of the reasons that I don't know if you're familiar with Nick Karras, but I love his work, where he's a photographer who has a book called Petals, and there's a film as well.
Yep.
And just say, I mean, I remember being blown away by watching the film and seeing the book, where there were just so many women. We just look so different, and there's so many different varieties, etc.
Right.
It's shocking, and yet that's not what we see.
Right. Well, there's no normal.
No.
There's no normal vagina. Every single one is different, like your fingerprints.
Mm-hmm.
So when somebody says, am I normal? No, because there is no normal. There's nothing that's the same.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I had a conversation with my daughter about this. You know, I actually found some pictures and said, hey, you know, everybody's yoni looks different, and yours will too, and it's hard to say what it'll look like, but, you know, it'll be you, it'll be yours, and it'll be perfect just as it is. We need to have these conversations.
Yeah. No, that's really, really key. And men as well, in terms of what does a man look like in terms of his lingam.
Right. And for men, frequently, they're all different as well, but they're more similar than different.
That's true.
Compared to a woman.
That is very true.
You know, but internet pornography has also caused men to spend thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars on penis enlargement techniques and stuff. And in fact, you know, and I'll say this, I do not believe men need to be larger, but I'm actually going to have a product about enlargement as well, because quite frankly, if they're going to get one, they should get one that has the benefits, because you can enlarge your penis through exercise. This has been going on for thousands of years. However, most women complain about men that are too big, not too small.
Mm-hmm.
And I state that in my book. I talk about energetic enlargement, that a man can actually, if he's good with energy, he can be the size he is, but when he penetrates the woman and breathes into his lingam, he can expand himself to fill her and watch the amazement look on her face, but without hurting her, because it's energy.
Yeah.
And that's a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, learning about energy and learning about breath can, you know, obviously enhance all of your life as well as that. But yes, men now hold themselves to these standards that are impossible to hold themselves to as well.
Mm-hmm.
And think, oh, well. And then women now, you know, used to be that a woman would say size doesn't really matter. Of course, now empowerment, women are saying, yes, size does matter. But part of the thing is a lot of women are numb inside. And so if they're, and I think we may have had this conversation,
mm-hmm.
you know, way back when, but, you know, if a woman needs to be pounded continually with something really big, if she's not feeling anything, she's going to look for bigger and bigger experiences.
Mm-hmm.
When learning to breathe and heal means that you can feel the subtlest thing
yeah.
as orgasmic.
That's... I hope that more people start taking classes from you and for good practitioners like you around the world. It's really, really, really important work that you do.
Well, I think that, you know, what I really would love to empower people to aspire to is to not be afraid. Just to not have, you know, I mean, you know, the difference between guilt and shame. There's
mm-hmm.
so much shame, and shame is paralytic. Somebody feels shame, they become paralyzed. Guilt is actually okay. Guilt is like, hey, my behavior sucks. Shame is like, I'm worthless.
Mm-hmm.
When we have shame and we feel worthless, personally worthless, we don't do, I mean, obviously that doesn't help us, but it also doesn't help the world or anything else around. There's nothing that the you know, shame is just one of those, I'm sure, I don't even know if it's an evolutionary thing or it's really a taught thing, but
mm-hmm.
but if parents use that tool to punish their children, they need to understand that it's not just their children, it's the communities that get affected by that too.
Mm-hmm.
I would love for shame to be eradicated. You want to do, if you did something that wasn't great and you feel guilty, that's great. That'll hopefully change your behavior.
mm-hmm.
But shame, we've got to figure out a way to release that, because that right there is the root. You know, people say, oh, I just need to have a better orgasm with my partner, you know, and I like to take it back once again to the very foundation. You know, let's get the breathing, let's get the feeling, let's clear the shame, and you'd be amazed what other things happen from that.
Mm-hmm.
You'd be amazed how fast everything else clears up. We need to go back, you know, down to this deep foundation level when we do any of this type of work.
Yeah.
That's what I believe.
No, I believe that. I actually think that'd be a great t-shirt as well for you to sell, eradicating shame.
Yeah.
And I'm not being facetious at all. I'm seriously.
Oh, my goodness. I know. I'm telling you, everybody out there, you know, this, you as a human being, you know, people will say to me, how do you just, you know, go through the things you've gone through and you're just out there living large and, you know, you have to be willing to take the risk in life to live fully.
Hmm.
You know, and not only do you have to be willing to, you kind of almost owe it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you owe it to yourself, to your partner, your kids, society. There's nothing powerful in being small. Nothing powerful in holding back who you really are and your truth and, you know, the authenticity that runs through you.
Hmm.
That doesn't serve you, doesn't serve the world, doesn't serve anything. And ultimately, you know, somebody asked me today, you know, when you talk about all this stuff and, you know, does somebody ever tell you, oh, you're such a braggart, you talk about all these great things, and, you know, I said, hopefully more people are inspired by that.
Mm-hmm.
That you can live large and you can have amazing things happen and you can really get to the things you want. That should be inspiring.
Hmm.
You don't hold back for anybody.
That's so true. And it's very well described. It's one of my favorite quotes is the whole Marianne Williamson Nelson Mandela pit about who are we to be gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Who are we not to be? By letting our own light shine, we inspire others to do the same. So a lot of what you're saying is really powerful. And if we could actually live those words and eat them and let those just shoot through our entire bodies where we can just breathe it and own it, this world would be in a really amazing place.
And what does that have to do with sex? Because everything comes back to sex, obviously. Is that
sex equals confidence.
Life and you're feeling and you're breathing, you're going to have authentic sexual experiences. And you will not get bored of those.
Mm.
The way most people have sex is boring. And what I mean by that is they don't need to add extra toys or other people. Basically, the sex people have is push-button sex.
Mm-hmm.
A woman learns to get off. Or the man learns to get her off, he gets off, check that box, we're done.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, you're going to be going, oh, well, we need something else. Ah, yes, the toys, of course, because every good sex teacher tells you you need toys. I always try to get rid of people's toys. But anyway, so the toys, now we got the toys. Now, well, we're bored with the toys, let's role play. From role playing, maybe let's go to BDSM. From BDSM, maybe let's add other people. And it keeps getting bigger and bigger and, you know, like more and more. And Tantra is about less and less.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you start to feel, when you understand how to feel the vibration that's within you, then the things you feel are so incredible and so magnificent and so full that it can never be boring.
I thank you. So what's next for you?
Well, you know, what's next for me? I have quite a few things planned. What I really want to do, actually, my latest thing was I want to go to Hawaii with a bunch of people and do some healing workshop camp, you know, on the earth of Hawaii and then dive in, you know, swimming with dolphins,
mm-hmm.
do some energetic dolphin, you know, healing, getting people aware in their bodies. So really, I'm continuing on with this, you know, I've got my new website up that's really defining, you know, modern, neo-classical tantra, helping people to figure out who, you know, to distinguish. And, you know, putting on workshops and just a lot more products. We have actually 13 websites that will be coming out eventually.
Hmm.
You know, I want to seal up, hey, the Tantra Empire. But I've been doing a lot of teleseminars. I've been being called up and invited to be a guest speaker and expert speaker on Tantra and some different things. So that's been a lot of fun. Get back into my own radio show. Keep spreading the word and keep living it.
Mm.
And hopefully keep inspiring people to really, really feel. You know, this isn't a dress rehearsal. Even if you believe there's more to this than this life, this has so much. This life has so much to offer and so much power and beauty and experience and fabulousness. And it's all there, and it's not even that tough if you just have the protocol to follow.
Hmm. So if people want to get a hold of you and aren't quite sure what to start with, obviously, checking out your website is probably the big thing, which, by the way, it's an awesome website. I like it.
Thank you very much.
So learningtantra.com. What might be the first step? Just emailing after they take a look and see what might best suit them?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I've got it divided up pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's pretty informative. You know, if you're a man, you can go, like, about men. You can look through there. Really kind of define, you know, some people don't really know what they're looking for. They just call me up and say, I just found you and I want to know about this, and maybe they have a session or two via Skype or something to start them off on a path. I have long-term clients that'll check in like every 6 months. I have some people that are on a grand life plan that I coach every week for, you know, a few years.
Mm-hmm.
They're really into, you know, changing their whole life. I do business coaching as well. So it really just, you know, you're going to find something. Maybe it's your family you're having an issue with. Like, you know, I do coaching for families. The best thing that with everything I do is, of course, breath work. And I have a great product. It's called the Conscious Breath V-Book, which is a video embedded e-book. And really, I encourage everybody to start there. And if you sign up on my website, and you just go to my website and sign up in the little box there, you'll get a free intro course on classical tantra, neo-tantra, and modern tantra. And I think on one of those is a special to get my V-Book for half price. So I would encourage everybody to do that, because that the V-Book is great. It's not just about, it's about your whole life. It's about your health and everything else. So you definitely will benefit from that. And it's the first step that I would do with anybody. So you can get that. There's a lot more bang for your buck buying it that way. And then, so whether you're a couple, you're battling an issue there, or you just want to even get better, you're single, want to know what to do, you're a guy in trouble with internet porn, pretty much if you have an issue, I can probably help you with it.
And I think that's a really big, big, big space to start. And I applaud you with that, especially about your thoughts in regards to internet porn, and just being really frank about them and the research that's come out as well. I'm really grateful you shared that. And I had no idea about the G-spot surgeries that were going on. The one that shocked me the most up until this, it was the hymenoplasty, where in certain cultures where it's great to be a virgin, and in LA apparently it's a really big deal, where for a wedding anniversary women are getting tightened specifically to please their partner, which those floored me, but had no idea about the G-spot as well.
Yeah, well, I mean, women are doing a lot of things in either A, for their partner, or B, because they're not really experiencing, you know, we're becoming an internet porn society. Like you said, don't get your education there, but we are getting our education there. And more, especially teens and young adults, believe that that is what it's all about. And so more women are trying to model themselves after the porn stars, and more men are believing that women should look that way. And, you know, it's media. You know, media. We're a media-driven society, and it's violence and porn. And, you know, that's really harsh. I mean, it's a harsh, and even the video games, you know, I'm down on the video games, too, so... I think that, people will say, no, it doesn't do any, not hurting anybody. But, you know, if you're spending, you know, half an hour to 2 hours a day killing people, your subconscious brain does not know the difference between that and reality.
Yeah.
And that's the thing to understand, is that your subconscious brain views all media as really happening.
Wow.
And you can go do research on that, too. The subconscious brain takes everything in without a judgment filter. And you know that. You can go watch a movie and your heart starts pounding, and you might grab the seat and get sweaty and you're all pumped up or whatever, right? Because your subconscious mind believes what's happening is real.
Yeah.
So that's the same with video games and internet porn and all the rest of that stuff, TV.
I just hope for future things start to evolve, especially I was just seeing a documentary a couple weeks ago about Japan and robots that are looking more and more human.
Yeah.
And it's scaring me just that more and more ways we're creating to disconnect.
Well, the most popular sex toy in Japan is a pocket pussy designed to be like a virgin.
Wow.
So, you know, just so everybody knows, I'm not all doom and gloom. I'm actually a really happy person that actually is really optimistic about the world. And I just think that you can't just talk rainbows and butterflies and unicorns, okay? It's nice, and positive affirmations are great. But if we have our head in the sand, you know, because the other thing is human sex trafficking is the biggest, second biggest industry in the world, and soon will be the biggest industry in the world. And once again, society issues. We need to pull our heads out of the sand. We need to see what's happening, and then we need to step up, all of us together, and create community so that things cannot go on like this. Because if everything's behind a closed door, that's how things can happen like this. You know, we need to say, hey, I need to know my neighbors. I need to know what's going on here. You're just in your own house, you know, if people are hiding and keeping secrets, there's a shame base in the house. And that, just like a couple who learn to do tantric sex with each other, and their energy and love spreads to their family and their community, the reverse is true as well. If you have a shame-based house where somebody's, you know, hiding secrets or doing whatever, that goes out into the family, which goes out into the community. So the only way to turn this around is not to sit by yourself in a cave and say, I hope, you know, everything's lovely, I'm seeing rainbows and fairy dust. It's actually to kind of get dirty and get out into the community, get out into, you know, with your partner, get real with yourself and them and your family. And go from there. That's how this is going to work. We need to take action and not just words of positiveness. Action, action, action. I'm big into action. So is Tantra, by the way.
Yeah.
Very action-oriented.
And I was going to say, not just sex in terms of action, where it's more than just sex. Not just genital friction. I'm going to quote you from many moons ago when I had you on the show.
Right. Right.
Where,
well,
it's much more,
you know,
than
genital
that.
Friction. And hey, I am a Scorpio, so I love sex, and I love sports sex just as much as anybody else, which is, you know, the bang on the back of the couch and stuff like that. So, you know, I don't just all sit in my little zen, you know, with candles and incense and have only sex like that. But variety and texture is part of the universe. And that's why we need this variety and texture. We should be able to range the full expression of our humanity. That, really, if I had to say, what does classical tantra teach? Classical tantra teaches you how to range your full expression. And that's what I'm really interested in. How much can I range as a person? How much can I feel? How much can I see? How much can I hear? How much can I experience fully?
Tanya,
that's why I love tantra so much.
And we love you. Thank you so much for being on the show. This has been absolutely incredible. And for those listeners out there, if you're just tuning in right now, Hans von Claus is coming up next with Misery Hour, and he's got some amazing music, and I haven't had a chance to see his shoes yet, but I swear anybody who has shoegasms, you're going to get them from looking at his shoes. He always has good shoes on. And you've been listening to Sexy in Van City Radio 101.9 FM on CITR. And if you were just tuning right now, check out my guest, Tanya Diamond, who is amazing at learningtantra.com. Thanks for listening, everyone, and have a great night. Bye-bye.
Bye.